Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13. A couple of weeks ago, we began the conclusion of the book, and we will continue that tonight. There are 12 points that we'd like to show. I think we got through about 2.5 last week, or 2 weeks ago. Last week, my wife and I were up on the island there in Mackinac. Nehemiah chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. On that day, they read in the book of Moses and the audience of the people. I know there's not a period there, but we're going to stop for a moment. Be thankful that our church uses the Word of God. There are so many churches today that play church. I mean, I don't know how you can use half a verse and call yourself a church. I believe we need to use the Word of God, and I believe it's important that we look at the Word of God and use it. But we find that on that day, I believe it's important that God's people attend church. You know, we are told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And unfortunately, we live in a world today where church has become something you do if there's nothing else to do. And how sad that is. But it continues, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them that he should curse them. Howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass when they had heard the law that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, again we come thanking you for your blessings, thanking you, Lord, for the Word of God that we have available so freely in our country. And Lord, we do pray for our country as we think of our elections coming very quickly, that, Lord, your will would be done in this matter. And have mercy upon us, we pray, O Lord. Be with our mission conference, which is right around the corner. And Lord, we pray for those who have health issues in our church, that you would be with them and help them, Lord, to become healed. And Lord, we ask your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Nehemiah was a man's man. And I think we need men in our society to stand up to be men. And I think we need to have women who are willing to be women. Of course, there was the time in which it was ladies and gentlemen. And unfortunately, a lot of females no longer want to be called ladies, they want to be called women. But the fact of the matter is, we need people who are willing to stand up for the cause of Christ. Point number one, you may remember, is he knew he was called of God. Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. He knew he was called. And one has said, you go when you're called and you leave when he calls you somewhere else. But Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And Nehemiah knew that God had begun a good work with him, and there was much to be accomplished. If you would, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 24. I believe this, that the Covenant Baptist Church was begun with a group of men and women who had a vision, and we'll be talking about vision in just a moment, but had a vision to see a Bible-believing Baptist church established in this area. And 64 years later, it is still here proclaiming the truth, and that's because people like you are still coming and being a part of it. And it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Until the Lord shuts us down, we have a job to do, ladies and gentlemen. We have an obligation to the cause of Christ. If our faith is not steadfast, we are like a house without a foundation or a ship without an anchor, unprepared for the storms of life. Do you think storms come in our lives today? Absolutely. We could take the next 5 or 10 minutes talking about different storms that can come our way. And if we don't have an anchor, the ship of life will just drift. And I'm afraid we're seeing far too many, well, people who once were believers drifting from the truth. Point number two was he depended on prayer. Prayer is important. And I have told you unashamedly that I need your prayers. And I don't mind telling you that without your prayers, I am nothing. And I need your prayers, but we need to pray for one another, correct? Remembering each other in prayer. It was the evangelist R.A. Torrey who wrote, "Pray for great things. Expect great things. Work for great things. But above all, pray." Because prayer is necessary. So point number three was he had a vision and saw the greatness of the work. It has been said that leadership involves vision, revision, and supervision. But the greatest of these is vision. Because where there is no vision, the people perish. And there needs to be a vision. Remember this thought. There are no small churches, and there are no big preachers. In our Lord's church, every job is a big job, and every servant is nothing apart from faith in the Lord. Recently at a pastor's meeting in Ohio, Larry Emery gave this thought, and I wrote it down very quickly. He said, "We need the strength of God to do the will of God for the glory of God." Is that not why we have a church, is for the glory of God? Are we not here so that we can bring honor and glory to Him? Yes, it's nice to come and to mingle and to talk about different things and to encourage one another. But the fact is we are here to bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior. And we can only do that if we are following in His will and if we are in His strength. Point number four, he submitted to authority. Oh, now that's a simple thing, isn't it? To submit to authority, don't we just all want to do that? Why is it that we are by nature just a tad rebellious? Right from the very beginning, creation rebelled against God. Lucifer rebelled. And he saw God face to face. Eve rebelled and Adam rebelled. And right down through the Word of God, what do we find? We find humans rebelling. And yet we find that we should submit to authority. The call of God is not an invitation to become independent and thus ignore authority. And Nehemiah respected the king, and he submitted his plans to him for his approval before he went to Jerusalem. He had a plan, but he wanted to run it by the king. He, like the Apostle Paul, believed that the power that be are ordained of God for our good, and we should submit to them. There's a lot of pressure that's put on those in a place of authority. Now, can I tell you something? I would never want to be the president of the United States of America. I would not want to have to put my wife through that or my children through that or anyone else. What a burden. What a burden. I would not want to be the governor of the great state of Michigan. I just would not. And you know, whatever decisions you make, some people are going to be slapping you on the back and saying great, and others want to slap you across the face because you opened your mouth. May I say this, and I have thought about running for a city council, I'll be honest with you, but I would not want to be the mayor of Sterling Heights. I mean, Sterling Heights is a nice place to live, and taxes are relatively low considering, though they're still there. But I would not want to be the mayor of Sterling Heights. I'm going to tell you this, it's hard just being the pastor of the Covenant Baptist Church. It really is. When you are put in a place of authority, it's a difficult place. We find that he also submitted to the authority of the Word of God. Do you think the Word of God is important? I believe it's very important. I believe it ought to be part of our lives. But unfortunately, too many people today think the Word of God is antiquated, archaic, for another generation and another time. But may I say this, it was good in the beginning and it's still good now. It's still good now. And he believed the Word of God was so important that he had Ezra teach the law to the people so that they too would obey the will of God. Now, I could be honest with you, I could get a book of jokes, and I could on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights make you laugh or die trying. But that's not why I'm here. I could get you some things that would, when you would go out saying, boy, that was fun tonight. But folks, the Word of God is powerful. Can I ask you this? Was Jesus Christ politically correct?
No.
He wasn't. And there are times that I'm not politically correct. But I believe in the authority of the Word of God. Nehemiah was not only dependable, he was accountable. And I believe it's great when we are dependable. Question. What if Nehemiah had not been willing to go and do the work at Jerusalem? God put a burden on his heart, correct? He put a burden. And it was not by chance when people came back from Jerusalem that they met Nehemiah so that he could ask, how are things there? And they could tell him the sad story of what was going on, and the Lord called him to go. But what if he said, you know, I'm the cup bearer here for the king. That's a pretty important job and pretty easy, really. What would God have done? He'd have raised up someone else, right? You know how I know that? Because Esther 4:4 tells me that. Let me read it for you. Mordecai says this, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? You're not here by chance, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord has a purpose for you. He has a reason for your being here. And one thing we know, our Lord used Nehemiah. The work prospered because he submitted to God, the Word, and the King. He was right with the Lord. Number five, he was organized in his work. He was organized. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I've met people who weren't very organized. Now, all of you are organized, right? Have you ever heard this, a place for everything and everything in its place? It makes things so much easier if everything is in its place, correct? Absolutely. Well, he was organized. We find early on that Nehemiah secretly surveyed the situation and became acquainted with the facts. He got to Jerusalem, and remember, he went out by himself and surveyed what needed to be done. He then talked to the Jewish leaders privately and told them his plans. And after making his plans, he enlisted his workers and sought to give them the same vision for the task that God had given to him. Now, I wish I could give you the same vision that I have. Yet I realize that my dad told me this early on and in my tenure here at the church, is not everyone is going to believe like you, Paul. That's what he said. But to give you my vision is my vision, is so that you have a desire that I have to see this church used of God. He had a place for all to work, and the job was completed because, as we read in Nehemiah 4:6, so built we the wall, for the people had what? A mind to work. The first time we went to Honduras, not everybody went to work. In fact, I remember one of the men that was there the very first day singing a song, "I Wanna Go Home." We were just there for a couple of hours and he was already wanting to go home. One of the men said, "Well, that's not how we do it back in America." And Brother Foster said, "You're not in America." You know, the fact is, there are those that go to work and there are those who go to talk. And you know people where you work that are there for one reason, and that's the talk. But they had a mind to work. He was able to give them security even though the situation was dangerous. I mean, after all, they had traveled quite a distance, and now they were going to build walls and put up gates, and they were in an area where people didn't want them to do that. They didn't want them to have security. Praise God for the security we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. See, one of these days, you're going to move on. You understand what I'm saying? And we have the security that we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. And that is a blessing and a half. Point number 6, he was able to discern the tactics of the enemy. The tactics of the enemy. Every church, every family, and every individual needs to keep their eyes upon, or to keep their eyes open and remain on guard, because our enemy, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So let me ask you this. How does he stop churches from doing their work? It starts with the C. O-M-P. Complacent. We become complacent. Everything is going okay. Is it really going okay? No. We are in a spiritual battle, ladies and gentlemen. There are adversaries to what we teach and preach. See, when I was a kid, people believed in creation. Oh, there was a group that didn't. There's always been a group. But that group has now grown and grown and grown. When I was a kid, abortion was something that people did in secret. You didn't have people screaming for the rights, what they call pro-choice. We find that there are so many things that are dividing our nation, our people, our churches, our families. And the devil's behind it because he creates confusion. He creates tension. He creates misery. Peter also admonished us, whom resisted fast in the faith. To resist the enemy is important. Jude warns that there are certain men crept in unawares, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. A number of years ago, Brother Wutke, when he was still teaching at the Macomb Christian School, asked if I would go with him to camp. And I remember, Brother Wutke, you were talking about a compass and how important a compass is if you're walking out in places that you're not unfamiliar. And he said that if you're walking from this point to another point, you need to find a secure position and walk towards it. Because, Brother Wutke, if I remember correctly, the average human being has one leg shorter than the other. And we cannot walk in a straight line. If given a just walking, we'll walk in a circle. Did you know that? I was told that. And so we need to spot something ahead and walk towards it. So what are we supposed to walk towards? Towards the Lord, right? Let me ask you this. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, it doesn't have to be 180 degrees. See, 180 degrees would mean that we would turn all the way around and people would immediately rise up and say, oh no, we can't do that. But it could be just 45 degree change or a 10 degree change. What happens if you're only 10 degrees off from where you're supposed to be? Will you miss the place you want to go? And the further you walk, the further away from where you want to be. And that's what's happening in our society today. Our churches have drifted from the truth because so many of them don't use the Word of God today. The Apostle John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Is truth important? It's very important. Truth trumps everything. Truth. God's word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Are people lying to us today? Yes. Are they lying to us in religion? Mm-hmm. They are. You've seen the bumper stickers, haven't you, said? Seen that says, coexist. Coexist will send people to hell. Mm-hmm. And it is sending people to hell. Do you realize that in India, they are teaching their people that Christianity is anti-Indian? Are they coexisting? No. But they're telling Christians they have to coexist. Nehemiah was not fooled by the enemy's offers or frightened by their threats. We find that there are many who are threatening us even today. But we must remain strong. Paul, the Apostle Paul said, we are not ignorant of his, that's the devil's, devices. He has been using lies from the very beginning. He is a deceiver. He's the father of liars. He is a murderer. And we cannot believe anything that he says. You ever known anybody like that? You can't believe anything they say? Yes. How many believers have ignored the advice and instructions of their pastors only to fall away from the truth and drift into sin? Now, I'm not going to do this, but I could name a dozen right without even thinking of people who once attended our church who have drifted from the truth and are no longer attending here. And every pastor can do the same of people who have drifted from the truth for one reason or another. Never, ever forget the advice of the Apostle Paul, who told us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the what of the devil? The wiles of the devil. We sang a song and it talked about the darts of the evil one. Stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, do you think Nehemiah read these words to those people there in Jerusalem? You know that he didn't, because they weren't written yet. And yet he had faith in his God. And he encouraged them to remain strong, just as I am encouraging you. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Fix your eyes on him. Remain strong, so that at his coming or his calling you home, he can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to look into your word and realize that you are there for us, that you care for us, and that your desire is to use us. May we be usable until you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.